This episode of Rock on the Money is brought to you by WebViewGold.com. All right, here we go. Welcome, rock stars. From Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C., this is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text our hotline 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. So how is it going on the home front during coronavirus detention?
So far, so good. I have made myself at home in my office, my home office cave.
I've since I'm not working the two other jobs and I'm actually at home now, I have to admit, I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Wow. I hear from you a whole lot more now.
I may actually retire. I kind of like this retirement thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I told everyone, you're going to get tired of me. I'm posting like crazy. So.
Yeah.
So what's going on in this podcast?
Today we have a listener question from Lacey from Baltimore. Mm. Then we're going to talk about 0% vehicle financing and leases. We're revisiting that topic since we seem to have struck a nerve on our Facebook page. And then we've got a social media question. And then we'll wrap it up with Savvy Savings. We're going to explore depression era tips that can save money.
Whoa. What do you mean, like the depression?
The depression. Yeah. If they were saving money then, I'm sure they've got great tips for us now.
What year was that? 20s? I can't remember. It was like 100 years ago, right?
More like the 30s, but yes.
30s? Wow. And we could go through it again. I don't know.
Maybe.
No.
Yeah.
Oof.
We'll get you ready.
Just curious, what is your general feeling about what's going on? I'm getting a little tense. I don't know why.
About the economy or about public health?
Actually, I may be a little concerned about the health part. I think I'm more concerned about the economy and the financial stability, what's going on around me. And it's, I don't know, I think it's starting to creep in me a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know if I have a reason to be. I just, I don't know. I can't explain it. And I don't watch cable news. I don't allow them to do that to me. It's the things that I watch and study. I'm watching the stock market. It keeps going up again. It's scaring me. I don't know why.
But. Well, and that's what's interesting, Craig, is, the stock market is not the economy.
No,
the economy is going down and the stock market is going up right now. And we have to remember that the stock market's not the economy.
Typically, the stock market always overshoots whatever it's trying to gauge. Yeah. I'm afraid it's overshooting back to the top again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said the range should be 2,500 to 2,700 for the S&P. And as of recording right now, mid-April, it's going way up. I'm like, I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, I'm not trying to time the market. It's just everything going on is weird. And I don't like it.
I agree. I mean, here in Florida, the governor just declared that WrestleMania is an essential business. So
I saw that. What? Ugh.
So I would agree with everything is weird right now.
We're not consistent. I don't like the messaging. People wearing gloves, masks. No one's doing consistently. Everyone's doing it wrong. I just don't like it. I'm going to hide in my basement till, hey, can you just let me know when this is all over? And then I'm going to come out of my cave.
Okay. Sounds good.
You have a cave, right?
Do you know anyone who's been impacted by COVID-19?
You mean like has got it?
Yeah.
No, not a single person. Nobody.
Yeah.
And actually in Maryland, they are now plotting on the map by zip code where the cases are. There's zero around me.
Huh.
Zero. There's not a single case.
I hadn't
reported.
Felt impacted by it either. But then this week, someone I know, her mother got it and actually just passed away last night.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it really hits home once you actually know someone.
And I do know people are feeling that. I just personally don't know anybody
Yeah. And I just know around me, there's, okay. Yeah. So I'm very sorry for that. In Maryland, it's like around Baltimore and around the Washington area where the populations are higher. And then it drops off dramatically to nothing. Hmm. So I don't know if it's big city or what. But anyway.
Well, speaking of Baltimore.
Yes.
We have a listener question from Lacey, who is from Baltimore.
Awesome.
Hi, Craig and Amanda. This is Lacey calling in from Baltimore. I'm calling. Question for the stimulus check. Or how you're able to pull money out of your 401k. Someone, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they asked if or what I was going to do with my 401k. And I said, you know, I'm not touching my 401k, leaving everything the same. And they were like, well, why don't you take out $10,000 to $15,000 and put it into the market? So my question is, what do you guys think about taking out the 401k, money out your 401k to reinvest it into the market?
Okay. Okay. So, okay. Wow. Uh-huh. Mm. Well, let me point out that I give credit to Lacey because she's a great person in our group. And she told her friend she wasn't going to do anything. However, her friend, which probably is in our group or listening to us, what do you think?
Sounds like Lacey needs new friends. Well, I mean, yeah. Don't be taking advice from broke people.
There you go. Yeah, that's an old Ramsey thing. Yeah, don't. Okay, so what
so
they want to
so
do.
She's going to pull money from her 401k to put in the stock market. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so.
What
do you.
What's the purpose of the 401k?
I mean, the 401k is mutual funds that are in the stock market.
So right.
You're moving things out of a tax benefited account into one that has no tax benefit, but you're still putting it in the stock market.
You know what? You just said something. I don't think people understand when you take cash and put it into the stock market and you invest it in stocks, buy and sell. Well, when you sell, you have to pay capital gains on what you made, or you get to file a loss. Which typically is what happens, by the way, when junior people start trying to be stock investors when they're not stock investors, but they try it, they usually lose. It's kind of like going to Vegas. I don't like comparing the stock market to Vegas, but if you don't know what you're doing, it doesn't usually work out very well. But you need to file taxes on that stuff. There's more forms you got to fill out. I used to do day trading. You should see how many pages of forms I had to file because I bought and sold stocks like in an hour. I would buy and sell like 20 different stocks.
Yeah.
That's 20 lines in my taxes I got to do.
Right.
Every time there's
it's
a pain.
Lacey, maybe educate your friend and remind your friend that 401k is the stock market.
Right.
It's just an account that has a tax benefit associated with it.
And if you're in the index fund, you're diversified across not 500 stocks, but let's just say 500. You're diversified across the broad index of stocks, the 500 best in the stock market. Now, if you go there and do specific stocks, the danger has been greatly increased. There's companies
don't be
right
doing
now.
Don't be doing single stocks right now. I mean,
no. There are companies that went down that are not going back up. They are going to go out of business, plain and simple.
And maybe that's what her friend means, is that she wants to pull money out to put into single stocks. But there's not a single financial guru out there right now who would say that single stocks is a good bet.
Right. And the people that I watch, I like watching. I can't remember what this show is. It's on at noontime on CNBC. These are big time investors that they have. They even said today and yesterday they are sticking with Amazon, Microsoft. They are not touching all the airlines. They're staying out of all the little guys and the ones that are volatile right now because they don't know what's going to happen. So sticking with the tried and true, which you get in the S&P 500 index. They are at the top of the index. Stay with that. Please do not put yourself. You don't know what you're doing. Just.
So anyway, Lacey, stick to your guns. Sounds like you're doing everything right. And don't let your friend influence you otherwise.
Mm. Moving on to even more fun.
All right.
So I'm watching CNBC in the morning, watching Cramer and these guys, just trying to get a general feel what's going on. And I like listening to Mark Cuban and stuff. Anyway, so I see an ad show up for one of these car makers and they do this. They're all doing it. 0% financing for 84. I didn't know 84 months existed, but 84 months of 0% financing. And I just roll my eyes whenever I see these ads. I took a picture, posted in our Facebook group at Facebook.
84 months? That's 7 years. A lot of marriages don't last 7 years.
That's when the itch occurs, by the way.
Yeah, but so, you think that your car, you're going to be happy with your car for that long?
Well, apparently. So I posted this in the group saying, this is one thing you never want to do. Just thinking it would be simple. People like it, laugh, and move on. Oh, no.
Which is what we've consistently said, what Dave Ramsey says, what Chris Hogan says, what Susie Orman says.
Ad nauseum. Yeah, and over again. So what happened, Amanda, today after I posted this?
People lost their minds.
Oh my God. What happened to you people? It's obvious.
Everyone is trying to justify paying or getting a loan for 5 or 6 years because 0% and they're saving so much money. And all that's baloney.
We talked about this in episode 31 and we said at the top of the topic, we tend to want to justify our purchases. So here are some of the comments that some of the people posted that like to do this. I've always been able to get a new car at 0% interest, but never financed for more than 4 years in length. It has worked for me very well. I think 84 months loan term is where you get in trouble. I refuse to buy used cars, but only because I've been burned buying used in the past.
Okay, so what do you mean always buy a new and then you've been burned buying used? That's a contradictory statement there.
And also, are you going to Consumer Reports and looking at what the best used cars are? There are bad ones, but then there are the reliable ones from Toyota, Honda. You know, the list is right there. We know what the reliable used cars are. So let's just move on. Here's another one. I did a 0% interest, 6 years, paid off in two. If you are disciplined, this is almost like paying cash. However, however, people not being disciplined.
If you were really disciplined, you would pay cash. And then there's no almost needed.
Right. I like how it's almost, it's like being Dave-ish, Ramsey-ish. Fact of the matter, debt is debt. So, and then we had this last one, which I think you went back and forth with. We are going to agree to disagree. It is only bad if you actually follow their payment plan. Like you said, you will be upside down. I was never upside down. If you have your own plan like I did, it is a great idea. I received a car.
Yeah, she must just be a genius.
I paid it off in 2 years. There is no better place for my money. I could have saved and have my money earned interest, but then I would pay taxes on that interest. I have no idea what she's saying right there. Yes, I would have been ahead marginally, but I need a car then and there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever disagreed with people who need a car then and there getting a loan for no more than 30 months.
Right.
And getting a reliable used car with a loan for 30 months. Mm-hmm. What people are having a hard time with is giving up their fancy either leases or their brand new cars with these 0% finance terms. No one is suggesting you put your money in a low interest savings account instead of paying 0% interest on a loan, which, by the way, you are losing money if you're just making 0% payments along the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had people actually sold cars in our group.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny that every single one who sold cars consistently said what a ripoff these things are.
Here are some of the comments there. I sold cars in LA for 2 years in the 80s. I've never bought new because of this, because of what Craig said. Leases are a huge ripoff. Here's another one. As someone living this lesson. Oh, okay. So this was someone who's been through this and learned from their mistake, Amanda.
Yeah.
And they admitted, as someone living this lesson, 84 months gets you in trouble right away. A car's value drops 10 to 20% in the first year. You will be upside down, own more than it's worth from day one, unless you put a large deposit down. Because my credit score and income, I was allowed to do this many times, but now it has come to a head. Follow the advice, never go more than 60 months when you get a new car. Well, we're kind of against that.
I think they meant to say 30 months.
Well, yeah, well, we have a coaching session coming up, so we'll take care of that. 84 months. Oh my God, that should be illegal. Here's another one. Boyfriend is a car dealer. He makes so much money on car leases. What's that tell you? Never lease a car. Here's another one. My best friend's a car dealer and he tells me never buy a new car. It's a trap. That's what we've been saying. So just some key takeaways and we can move on. These corporations spend hundreds of millions of dollars studying you guys on how they
can get you to purchase. And where do you think they get those hundreds of millions of dollars?
from selling leases and new cars.
Yeah, that's how they're financing all of their marketing. They're not giving you a deal. I promise you, you're not getting a deal.
Do you really think they're giving you a car and making nothing? Seriously.
Oh, and then we had someone else comment how they negotiated it down to 500 over invoice.
Okay,
still, so not a deal.
No. Let me tell you something. The people that were arguing with me, them and I walked in a new car dealership. I go walk in with cash and they go in to get a 0% financing deal. Who do you think gets the better price on the car?
Cash every time.
Cash. They will give me a much better deal out the door. The full price is buried in that 0% financing.
It is. You know why? Because they have to still pay the lending company that interest. So they are paying the interest that you're not, and they just wrap it up into the price of the car.
You mean banks aren't giving you 0%? How would they make money, Amanda? How is that possible?
That's right. Yeah.
Come on, guys. Think about it.
And the other thing that's important here is you can still get very low interest and even 0% interest in some cases on certified used cars.
Absolutely.
This is not limited to just new cars. So anyone who says, well, I need to get a new car because that's the only way I'll get the good interest rate, you're just fooling yourself.
And remember, people, almost everybody that gets a 0% pays manufacturers just as retail price. You think you got a deal? You did not. They make their money. And the money gets forwarded to the bank. Trust me, they are not doing you a favor. And if you don't live up to the terms of the contract, what happens, Amanda?
Oh, well, then it reverts to a really high interest rate. And then that money, you pay interest on that all the way back to the date of your signature.
And yes, some of you have said you pay it off early, blah, blah, blah. I get it. The studies have shown a vast majority of people do not. And then they get screwed over. Those are facts, and we deal with the facts here. Bottom line, people, is even 0% is still debt, and debt destroys your most powerful wealth building tool, and that is your income. You're paying a debt. You owe money. You need to be debt free, except for your mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, look at all these people who are losing their jobs or unemployed right now. Do you think it matters that they have a 0% car payment right now? I don't think it matters. If you're not able to make your car payment, the percentage of interest rate on it makes no difference.
There's going to be a lot of cars being repoed here in the next few months.
Yep.
People, debt is debt. When you're out of debt, there's nothing anybody can do to you because you own it. I don't know what to tell you, people. You would think the coronavirus would wake people up into having an emergency fund and being out of debt. If you have payments and you don't have the income, what do you think happens? I don't know what to tell you, people. I was shocked that when I posted that, it would cause such an argument. It was the first time I had to turn commenting off on a post.
Yeah, you know, people like to be car poor, but, you know, I guess it's nice to have a second place to move into when you can't afford to pay for your house anymore.
It was frustrating, Amanda. Personally, with everything we've been doing to see that going on in our group, that was frustrating. So, and I know they're not listening to the podcast. So,
so we're not offending them.
It's obvious they're not listening to the podcast. So,
clearly. Hey,
got another social media question. A little bit more. Well, it's not more. This is just going down the dark road still.
Oh, my goodness.
I asked our Facebook group, really quick question. We'll just read some of the comments. What is your largest financial concern during the coronavirus pandemic? And I think the vast majority, you read through these, I think it's more or less people worried about their bills, which kind of goes back to our previous topic. People are concerned about their bills and what's going to happen. We don't know. It's now mid-April, Amanda. We still have no idea what's happening and how long we're going. You're able to work.
I am. I'm continuing to work from home. I'm very fortunate.
I'm in a situation where now I am retired. So this is kind of a bad example. If I wasn't retired and I was reliant on these two jobs,
yeah.
One, I've been, well, they don't like calling it furloughed, but basically I'm furloughed. And I'm on a 90-day pause with the biggest hotel company out there. And I'm also waiting to hear what's going to happen with the airlines, which I also work for. And the airlines only promise they weren't going to lay anyone off or fire people up until September. And they don't like the package the federal government. Federal government says, look, this other money is loan money. You got to pay it back. And a lot of them don't want to take that, you know, that risk. So do they want to do that or not? Or are they going to start selling planes and fire? I don't know what's going to happen. So if I was relying on this money, I would really be concerned. But I'm actually retired and I don't need it. But I'm fortunate.
Yeah, so. I mean, luckily, because of my personal life situation, I have set myself up with work from home type of job. And then I'm actually picking up my second job again.
Wow.
In a couple of weeks, which is also work from home.
And you were already set up to telework. Like you said.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And actually, most of our company transitioned to that very smoothly because we've always had way more capacity for that than most businesses planned. So everyone transitioned to work from home in our company out of Atlanta overnight. It was easy.
And guys, we are just as concerned as you are. And we're going to be with you through this and we'll figure it out. We have no idea how long it's going to go. We'll be here at least till the end of this. Whatever's on the other side, Amanda, I have no idea. So, hey, how about we take a break? That was a gloomy start to our podcast. I think I'm ready to hear what Savvy Savings has in store for us. What you got coming up on Savvy Savings?
Today we're going to talk about depression era tips that save money during this time.
Can you make this bright and cheery for us?
Well, it's about depression, so I'm not sure.
This is the gloomiest podcast ever. All right. Depression era tips that save money. Actually, we might need this. Coming up right after the break, you're listening to Rock on the Money. This episode features WebView Gold. WebView Gold is an app template that converts your existing website to apps for both iOS and Android. You don't need to be a coder to publish your own apps for both the iPhone and Android. Get access to millions of new customers through the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store ecosystems. Your app will work as a full screen browser. All the changes that you've done to your website will be applied to your iOS and Android app immediately. Users will navigate your web app exactly as your web app on Safari for iOS or Chrome for Android without the browser interface. The whole process takes less than an hour. Here's what you need to do. Go over and download the WebView Gold app template today. Insert your website address and you're done. Grow your business today. Download the software right now at webviewgold.com. That's webviewgold.com. This month, Amanda. People are calling.
That's awesome.
989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Just leave your voicemail financial question. If we use it, you're in the running for a gift card at the end of the month.
And we love hearing from our listeners. Just like we heard from our listener today, she did a great job leaving us a nice detailed message. Thanks, Lacey. And we were able to give some feedback there.
Yes. Get new friends. That was our feedback.
More like stick to your gun, Lacey.
And let me point out, I've seen Lacey on Facebook, and I've talked to her in coaching, and she is doing phenomenal. She's in her 20s. She's going to be a sugar mama.
That's
she's
awesome.
Doing very well. She's focused on what she's doing. I really love seeing the 20-year-olds really. I wish I had done this in the 20s. Speaking of the 20s and 30s, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. yes.
Savvy savings.
Yeah. So I was thinking a lot lately about money saving. Obviously, that's the segment I do. So I'm constantly thinking about tips and tricks there. But just the stark contrast in our economy between a month or two ago and today, it feels like things have gone 180 pretty quickly. And the same thing happened, you know, decades ago during the Great Depression. And a number of our grandmothers, grandparents, moms and dads, maybe even lived through that time period. And I remember growing up visiting my grandparents out on the family farm and just thinking, you know, how silly some of the behaviors were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now they're really coming into play. And now I think back and look back and think, wow, that period of time really had an impact on them, even though it wasn't then, because obviously I was growing up in the 80s. Just having lived through that experience had a lifelong impact on their behavior. And I think we're at that point in time right now for this generation,
mm-hmm.
that there's going to be these lasting impacts. You know, my grandmother always had a compost bag for any type of peelings from vegetables, like apple peels or potato peels, all of that got composted, you know, making use of things there.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I do remember my grandparents doing that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, funny story, before we get into some of these tips here, when my great grandmother was alive, she was really a penny pincher. And we went to visit her one time and she was serving some kind of dinner and there was ketchup involved. And my sister went to pour the ketchup on her plate and didn't realize that our grandmother had put water in the ketchup bottle to make it last longer or to spread it out. And so it came out too fast. And that was all that was left on my sister's plate at the end of the meal. And grandma made her sop it up with bread to not waste it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wow.
A traumatizing memory for all of us, but funny looking back. So anyway, we can learn a lot from the Depression era about living more frugally. People had skills then that can still help us save money now. And, you know, we can become much more resourceful like they did then. So the first one here is, you know, make your clothes last. New clothes would have been pretty much unheard of for most families during the Depression. Clothes were mended over and over again. I know my own grandmother was very skilled at mending socks, sewing on buttons.
Those are skills that have kind of disappeared, do you think?
What's that?
Like sewing and being able to put a button. I can't think of... I've seen a lot of people look for somebody to do it for them because they just don't know how to put a button on.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we have YouTube and our grandparents didn't have YouTube back then. So
good point.
You can learn how to sew a button on or to darn a sock just by clicking on YouTube.
I think 25% of America now knows how to sew up a mask at this point.
Exactly. I bet everyone's polishing off their sewing skills right now.
Yeah.
But also to make them last, you know, you should be taking better care of your clothes. So make sure you wash them correctly and if possible, line dry them. This will save you money and is also gentler on your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the ketchup example, use it up. Make sure you're using every drop of your food items, your personal care items, your cleaning items. All the products that we sometimes just throw away with just a little bit left really does add up. You know, so if there's a little bit left in your toothpaste tube, you know, you can cut off the end of it and still get your toothpaste out without having to squeeze it. You know, you can cut open bottles of shampoo or conditioner to get what's left in the bottom. All sorts of tips like that, just making sure you're really using every drop of personal care items before discarding them. And this is not just good for money saving tips, but it's also better for the environment.
You know, what you just said, you know what popped in my mind? I watch Shark Tank a lot. I learned from that. A couple of years ago, what's the blonde girl's name on there? Lori?
Lori.
She does home show? No.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway, so some guy came in with a simple plastic gizmo where you take all the small bars of soap.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing this? You put them all in there and you screw this thing down and then it forms a big bar of soap.
Huh.
Just a simple little thing like that. And then she obviously bought into that and then sold it on, QVC. She's on QVC.
Oh, yes, QVC.
Yeah, so I'm like, that is the smartest thing ever. I didn't even think about that. You always end up with these stupid little bars. You can't do anything with them.
Hmm.
But anyway, neat little thing.
So, yeah, I mean, especially like little soap bars like that you pick up while you're traveling at a hotel. You know, the hotel just has to throw it away if you've opened it or used it. So you might as well take it with you. Do you take home travel things from hotels, Craig?
No. Well, actually, the bigger chains have started switching over where they have the pumps in the showers. Yeah. They're trying to get away because of the trash. This was before the coronavirus. They've been trying to eliminate plastics and that sort of thing. So, yeah, now it's down to pumps. So they just refill those now. So not all of them are doing it. But, no, I don't bring home a lot of those things. I use Irish Spring. That's my bar of soap. By choice.
I'll tell you, I always take the shampoo and conditioner with me.
Really? I'm wondering, is it any good? You're a girl, you know, us guys, we just use whatever.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time it's good. I mean, but I stay in relatively nicer places. I mean, mid-grade, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure you're using things to the fullest. Another tip is to make it yourself. So do it yourself wasn't just a trend in the Depression. It was a way of life. While you aren't going to start grinding your own flour, I mean, some people do. but you can make your own bread and other foods from scratch. And my grandmother made bread basically every week. She had a whole bunch of bread tins and we would spend, a couple hours making bread. And you know what? That bread is the most amazing bread in the whole world, the homemade bread. So you can save quite a bit if you make your own foods from scratch, as long as you have a stock pantry, of course.
Yep.
I did see that yeast was going out of stock all over. Apparently everyone is making foods from scratch nowadays, but you can make your own yeast as well. Again, click on YouTube.
Well, you can make your own yeast?
Yeah, you make it out of fermented fruits.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow. So there's never going to be a shortage of yeast.
No.
Yeah.
And we have bread science makers. People, they didn't have nice bread makers like we have now. You just put everything in there and it comes out.
Oh, yeah. That's good, but not as good as just purely homemade.
Yeah.
You can also make your own cleaning supplies, and even a lot of personal care products can be made from simple ingredients that you likely already have on hand. Again, we have big advantage with, YouTube, Pinterest, all sorts of online resources to help with this. And again, these aren't just great money saving tips. They're also really good for the environment. The next tip here is to borrow instead of buying. So we've talked in the past, but when was the last time you went to your local library? Well, right now you may not be able to go. It might be closed, but they still have so many online resources that you can borrow electronically. You know, and those include books and movies. A lot of times, if we buy a book, we only read it once and then it sits on a shelf or you end up donating it somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can get them from your library for free. You can also borrow things from friends or family. Just be sure to take care of those items and be responsible. Otherwise, they won't want to share anymore. There's also options that aren't free, but still save you money in the long run and use up fewer resources, like Kindle Unlimited for eBooks, and if you have Prime already, you can watch movies, TV shows. We've talked before about other streaming services that can save you some money as well, especially if you need to cut your cable. Now is probably a good time to evaluate that. So it'll save you money and also means less clutter in your home. Next, you can use less. I guess that one's kind of obvious, right, Craig?
Absolutely.
But, be mindful about the number of products that you use. Soaps and detergents are some of the things that we use way too much of. So you really only need a very small amount to be effective. You don't have to fill your laundry detergent cup up to the fill line.
No.
That's just the maximum. So, make sure you're reading the instructions on your detergents. Often it's far less than what you think you need to be using. Sometimes using more makes it less effective.
I still use the pods because I know not to eat them. So it's pre-measured for me.
Speaking of generations, right?
Yes.
So also reuse everything that you can. So when clothes are no longer be mended, they can become rags. You know, it's a lot cheaper to use old rags around the house than to continue to purchase paper toweling. And you can use them once and then throw them in a wash bin and go ahead and wash them. And it's just as effective. And again, less trash to discard, less stress at the store when they're out of the paper toweling. It's just good things all around. Old food jars can store things. Junk mail can be scratch paper. You know, a lot of times when I get a card from my grandmother, it's a reused card. You know, you can cut off the back and you still have like a postcard type thing that you can write a note on, or you can make it into a postcard. There's just about any way to use something and give it a new and extend its life, if you think about it. Now might be a good time to start thinking about creating or growing your own food. Gardens were extremely important during the Depression, and they can help us save money and help the environment by reduced transportation requirements for our food. And foraging is also a lost skill that can help your food budget. Now, I'm not personally a fan of foraging in the city.
Wait a minute, hold on. Foraging, the only thing I know about is what I see in the movies. So what do you mean foraging?
Okay, well, so out on our family farm, we would go into the forest and we would pick berries. You know, we had blackberry bushes out in the woods, and you can get those if you have, when we lived in Miami, my husband's rented a place that had a mango tree in its yard. So you would go pick mangoes, and sometimes you swap them with other neighbors.
A real mango tree in your backyard?
A mango tree? Yeah, in the backyard. Right now, I have a banana tree in my yard.
See, I live in Maryland. We don't have avocado trees or none of this crap. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, but you could have an apple tree. Apples grow well in that climate.
Yeah. No, I'm right near a lot of apple orchards. I'm in apple orchard area. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the apples, rhubarb grows really well in the north.
But the apples won't be ready till October. What am I supposed to do all summer?
Yeah, I know. There is a downside to that.
Okay. Now,
you're going to need to do a little bit of research about what grows in what season and make sure you have something planted to get you through every season. But
now, the neighborhood I live in, they built this neighborhood on an old farm, okay? So the back of my house is up against the woods. I have a great lot. That's why I don't want to leave. So there's like about 10 deer that literally come in my backyard every morning. They could actually be food.
I think that's illegal.
Well, actually, it is.
Them out of season.
Good point. Plus, I don't even have a gun. I don't even know how to kill
them. It's probably also illegal inside certain city limits to shoot a gun.
Well, yeah, I can't do it near a house, so I need to shoo them away and say,
you could follow them because they're probably very good at foraging.
No, they're pretty good at running. That's all I know. Because
they'll show you where the berries and apples are.
Mm, okay. So the deer are not going to be on my menu.
Foraging in the city. Have you ever seen that show Extreme Cheapskates on TLC?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, it's too much. I think they think they're saving money, but their methods create extra cost. They're not calculating. But anyway, some of them do a dumpster diving in the cities outside of like restaurants or grocery stores. So that, I guess that's what I would consider foraging in a city climate.
Oof.
Yeah, so I would stick with the growing your own food, not necessarily foraging, but that's just me. And speaking of food, don't waste it. So we do tend to waste a lot of food these days, actually 30 to 40% of it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Again, as I was mentioning at the top of the segment, there are many ways to use up food scraps. Soups and smoothies are really good for veggie and fruit scraps. You can use your meat bones to create soup broths. Mm-hmm. Also, vegetable scraps are great for making broths. Citrus peels can clean your garbage disposal or be used to make a citrus vinegar for cleaning. We talked about how you can make yeast for making your bread out of fermented fruits. And even inedible scraps can go into a compost bin for your garden.
Mm.
Yeah. And then finally, you know, make sure that you're storing your food properly so it doesn't spoil, so that you aren't in a position where you have to discard it before you're able to consume it. And then just clean with what you already have on hand. So I think people are learning during this period of time to become a bit more creative with cleaning supplies now that there is a scarcity of some types. But generally speaking, our cleaning products in America, at least, are labeled for one purpose, when most of the time the ingredients are very similar or the same for multiple purposes. So, I mean, check your labels, but you probably are able to do some cross cleaning with a number of products. You know, you don't have to limit your one item to just cleaning a countertop and then go and grab a different thing for cleaning a table. It's our windows.
Yeah. You know what I use for cleaning in my shower?
What's that?
I make it myself. I don't know what the measurement is. It's marked on my spray bottle, but it's the blue dish soap, like Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like about one or two cups of that. And then I fill the rest of the spray bottle with vinegar.
Yeah. I use vinegar and just a vinegar and water mix for a lot of cleaning.
So, yeah. And so that right there actually takes the scum right off in the shower faster than if I pay all that money for the other things that have all the fumes and all that crap.
Right, right.
And it is, I can't believe how easy it is to clean my shower now with this stuff.
Yeah. Now, I will say that vinegar does not necessarily kill viruses. So if you're looking for a disinfectant, you want to do your homework.
Yeah. Then I come back in once the vinegar is, you know, rinsed, then I spray a thin layer of diluted bleach water on top. Yeah.
Yep.
To kill the.
Yeah. So that's a great tip there. Anything else you've learned from your family who lived through the Depression?
No, I barely remember my grandparents on my mother's side. That's the side where Colonel Sanders was my great uncle, you know, the chicken guy. Isn't that great? Yeah. But I remember going to my grandparents' farm. They had the old tractor and I got pictures of me, but I barely remember the stuff that, you know, they were doing there. But they had the big cornfields and all that. But they were doing a lot of what you were saying earlier, you know, composting and not wasting any food or any of that. I'm sure that's where it came from.
To circle around to what we spoke about earlier, cars. My grandparents had the same cars the entire time I was growing up. They never bought new. They just kept fixing it. And eventually, you know, 2-3 decades later, some of the panels were different colors than other panels. But yeah, you just keep using what you have.
You couldn't finance cars back then, by the way.
That's right.
No, if you didn't have the money, you didn't buy it.
Right.
That's a weird
concept.
So it is
possible, people.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this whole financing thing is new for our generation. So, yeah. And they know how to get it from you. Anyway, I think we beat our audience up enough on this.
But I'd love to hear from people on if they have any other tips or tricks that they learned from their grandparents or parents or anyone else who they know who lived through the Depression. I find it might be a great way to connect with family members right now who live that time by just, you know, talking with them, have a conversation. You might be interested to learn what they did then, but you also might learn a little bit about your family tree that could create a lasting memory and connection for you.
That's a great idea. I wish I knew anybody that was, I could interview, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not allowed to visit nursing homes right now, so that's not going to happen.
No, but you can have a phone call or a Skype. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was great, Amanda. Thank you very much. That was really good.
All right.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.